WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Harrisonburg becomes the latest Virginia locality to shut down its Flock license plate reader system. Augusta County's Library Board ends planning for a Pride event after a similar decision by county supervisors last year. And a new workforce program aims to address the growing mental health needs of Virginia's college students. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, July 29th. It's official. Flock cameras in Harrisonburg will be shut off this Friday. The Harrisonburg Citizen reports City Council voted Tuesday night to prohibit the use of automatic license plate recognition systems in the city. The decision ends the city's contract with Flock Safety. Flock systems have been removed in some other localities and are being opposed and debated in places such as Bridgewater and Elkton. The Augusta County Library Board has unanimously ended planning for a Pride Day event proposed for May of next year. The news leader reports the event would have included a community resource fair and other activities with participation from local nonprofits and churches. Library trustees voted July 23rd, even though a decision had initially been expected later this year after additional public feedback. Several board members said they believed the Augusta County Board of Supervisors would simply cancel the program if it moved forward. Supervisors canceled a similar library event last year, just days before it was scheduled. Other trustees argued the program could be seen as endorsing one group or viewpoint and could create controversy or require a police presence. Library staff proposed holding a smaller event in a separate room, but the board rejected that compromise. Board leaders claimed that the vote was not intended to oppose the LGBTQ community and that other outreach programs could still be considered. Stanton voters will decide in November whether to approve an additional 1% sales tax to pay for school construction and renovations under a new state law. The news leader reports that City Council voted unanimously to place the referendum on the ballot. City officials estimate the tax would generate between $5.1 and $5.4 million annually. Groceries and essential personal hygiene products would be exempt. Officials say the tax would allow visitors and commuters to help cover school costs, rather than relying more heavily on local property owners. The additional revenue would be restricted to school capital projects. Stanton's unfunded school improvement plan totals about $150 million. A similar sales tax referendum will also appear before voters in Waynesboro. Some college students are facing significant mental health problems caused by a variety of factors, including economic instability and social media use. A mental health workforce program in Virginia aims to address this need. WMRA's Aisha Pirga has the details.
The Higher Education Mental Health Workforce Pilot Program came out of the 2022 General Assembly session and has become a permanent program.
And it really, I assume, kind of culminated from the urgent need around mental health supports for students post-COVID. And it represents a unique approach.
Emily Salmon is the Assistant Director of Strategic Planning and Policy Studies at the State Council of Higher Education for Virginia, also known as SHEV. She says the program is really focused on
meeting two core objectives. One is to meet the immediate need for student mental health services, meeting their needs at on-campus counseling centers and simultaneously developing a pipeline of licensed professionals for the long term to meet those needs.
The model had two parts, funding education for student mental health practitioners and providing counseling for students who needed it. She says the funding was available for a two-year period allocated each budget cycle, which is based on the approximate time it takes for candidates in Masters of Clinical Psychology or Social Work to receive their license.
So it basically underwrites awarded institutions the salary and benefits of those candidates while they provide services to students at on-campus counseling centers and work toward their hours for licensure.
Salmon says there were six institutions that participated in the first round, and all were public four-year schools. 5 institutions participated in the second round, which included schools in WMRA's coverage area, such as Longwood University.
So we had the program ran for 2 years, and then it was continued on at flat funding for the last 2 years, and they're just now winding out their last year of the second round of funds.
She says traditional private practice social workers and professional counselor candidates see a continual pace of patients, whereas the flow of the academic calendar may mean things are slower in the summer months.
And so we expanded to allow them 2.5 years, and to during the summer months when things might be slower to go and get some additional hours that we would not pay for, but they could stack toward their licensure hours for the program.
She says the vast majority of the candidates that are supported through this program are from Virginia higher education institutions and are Virginia residents.
And our hope is that they continue to stay and work here.
One of the institutions participating in the program is James Madison University.
So in the first round, we had one applicant.
Nina Kreitz is a licensed professional counselor and serves as the Associate Director for Administration at JMU's Counseling Center. She is also the Administrative Supervisor for Victim Advocacy Series. Kreitz also co-coordinates the training and residency program for licensed professional counselors. JMU was accepted as a participating institution in the first and second rounds of the program.
So we did have 2 residents for the second round. The one was able to complete hours and achieve licensure. And then the other one is staying on. So they currently are a resident at the center. And they will be continuing through the duration of the funds, which will be for the majority of this upcoming academic year.
Kreitz says that at JMU, they already have a residency program that was established
as part of our continuation of our training program. So our center has built into our budget funding for 2 residents that are ongoing. And then the CHEV grant allowed us to have an additional resident. So each academic year, that resident was able to provide about 400 clinical hours. And again, those were face-to-face hours, and that was in addition to anything that was already being offered.
She says they received some really positive feedback from students about the resident who received funding through the CHEV grant. As for why she believes JMU was a strong applicant in the first 2 rounds of the CHEV grant.
If I had to guess, I wonder about the fact that we already have a residency program here at the Counseling Center. And so we already had a protocol for recruiting, interviewing, hiring, and onboarding residents. And then we also had a system that was already well established for the provision of supervision.
She says that is a big part of being a resident and that they have a number of staff members who were approved as supervisors through the Virginia Board of Counseling. Kreitz says their whole center really focuses on providing training, supervision, consultation, and support for new clinicians. For WMRA News, I'm Aisha Pirge.
You'll find links to more information at WMRA.org or on our app. Full disclosure, WMRA's operating license is held by JMU's Board of Visitors. State regulators are considering an application from Dominion Energy to merge with a Florida-based NextEra Energy. Members of the General Assembly may be about to return to the Capitol to ask that regulators have more time to consider the deal. Radio IQ's Michael Pope has the latest.
The State Corporation Commission has 6 months to make a decision about a potential merger between Virginia's largest utility, Dominion Energy, and Florida-based NextEra Energy. And that 6-month deadline is not enough time, says Lieutenant Governor Ghazala Hashmi. She says she supports a special session to give regulators more time.
It does require a special session. It requires legislation to make that happen. And I do support having a special session to be able to grant the FCC the necessary length of time that our commissioners and their staff and all of our attorneys need in order to review this acquisition and make sure that it is in the best interest of Virginians.
The proposed merger would create the largest utility in the United States, an unprecedented multi-billion-dollar transaction during a time when people are struggling to pay their energy bills. Here's Senate Majority Leader Scott Surville.
I think that this size of a transaction needs to be looked at in more than 6 months. It was proposed by the House and the governor in the last budget. It didn't make it through, but I supported it, and I continue to support it. But the only way to do it is a special session, and then I don't know whether we're going to do that yet or not.
So far, Governor Abigail Spanberger hasn't said what her position is on the merger or extending the timeline or even whether she'll call a special session. A spokeswoman for the governor says she's considering the options. Michael Pope.
Governor Abigail Spanberger has named David Manley to head Virginia's Tobacco Region Revitalization Commission. The commission was created in 1999 to diversify economic opportunities for 40 localities in Southside and Southwest Virginia that have been reliant on tobacco. Manley, who is from Wythe County, most recently served as the executive director of the county's Joint Industrial Development Authority. Virginia's cottage industries, goods that are made and sold by folks in their homes, got a boost this year. Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner reports on what's changed.
That's the sound of Homaira Qureshi's dough mixer churning away on fresh sourdough loaves. She's also got a nifty lemon zester. Qureshi got into home baking over gluten concerns. And what started out as a hobby turned into a small business out of her Sterling home. Before long, she debuted Monarch Bakery to much fanfare, but it hasn't been easy.
I just used the manual process of getting orders via text messages and Facebook messages and then basically tracking it through a spreadsheet. That's how I did it since 2024.
But now, thanks to lobbying from Qureshi and the Institute for Justice, Charlottesville Delegate Katrina Carlson authored a bill that allows online sales and in-state shipping for Qureshi's shelf-stable baked goods.
It has made my logistics 100% better.
The Institute for Justice's Cindy Travis said recent changes to the law are a good step in the right direction, but Virginia, which received a C on the group's cottage industry report card, could do more for home bakers.
Especially in the area of wholesale, a lot of producers tell me that they're contacted by maybe coffee shops or small stores that really would like to sell their products, but that's still not allowed in the state of Virginia.
As for bill author Carlson, she's open to future changes in the law.
Oh, I learned about pickling, I learned about beef jerky, I learned about milk. There's avenues and room to grow and kind of seek out those different markets, and I'd be open to exploring them.
Virginia's new cottage industry laws took effect July 1. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Finally today, a coalition of Eastern Woodlands tribes is working to bring indigenous foods into public school cafeterias across Virginia, Maryland, and North Carolina. Later this summer, the College of William and Mary will begin training school nutritionists on how to prepare the approved meals, which include rabbit wild rice stew and fiddlehead wraps. Here's Eastern Chickahominy Environmental Director Jess Phillips.
When you teach a kid that the plants that they're walking over every day are actually not weeds, they are food and medicine, it totally changes the way they look at the world.
The program is backed by a $500,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.